Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It's my pleasure to welcome Scott Rojas from eMate to the podcast. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Scott, you're a solutions consultant with eMate. And for those that don't know what eMate is, it is an asset management software, or CMMS, as others may refer to it as, correct?
That is correct.
Now, from my understanding, eMate focuses on collaborating with industries to identify opportunities to bring their asset management activities and their asset management system into alignment with their organizational objectives. Now, is that about sum it up?
Yeah, that's right, James, and that is the ideal situation. Of course, we're going to be talking about things today that are challenges, and hopefully we can realign or keep that alignment in focus.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Scott. How'd you get started with eMate?
Well, I started earlier this year with eMate. I came on board as an account executive and solutions consultant. And my day-to-day life, it just involves consulting for folks that are usually, quite frankly, early on their journey looking into a CMMS system. Maybe they have a CMMS system already in place, but they're not using it. They're not getting the value out of it. Or they're using manual methods or, even spreadsheets.
And if I remember correctly, you just recently got your CRL, correct?
Yeah, I did. So I really have a kind of a little background on me. I've always had a passion for troubleshooting my whole life. And what I really live for is that moment of ah. So I like really finding hidden gems of knowledge and thinking things through to find better ways of doing things. So, often months will go by. When I started with eMate, I got on the path of really understanding more about asset management, and I quickly kind of cracked the books open. I'm expecting that the floodgates are going to open in terms of opportunities to help other people. For me, that's really where the excitement's about or where it's at. And, so it's kind of this personally, it's reward-seeking behavior, that stimulation, neuroscience, we call it dopaminergic pathways of the brain. So really the reward is the breakthrough of finding a better way. So that's really what I live for in my career. So every day I really look to build up resources, and little by little will prepare me to create opportunities for my customers.
So your customers, let's talk about them for a minute. Why do organizations look to implement the CMMS? Say, for example, whether they have one already that's just not working, or if they don't have one. Why do they want one?
In a very general sense, what I gather is that they're seeking to really fill the gap in best getting value from their assets, overall. And it really depends on focus, as we'll find in throughout this conversation we're having. But really it's, primarily in operations and maintenance phase of asset life cycles that they're thinking about. And so what they're looking to do generally, what they come to me with is that they're looking to automate job processes, monitoring performance, with a variety of stakeholder lenses on the activities, again, within the operation and the maintenance phase of asset life cycles, organizing asset information and really controlling expenses. So they have this idea that there's a better way of doing things. They just, in most cases, haven't really identified a strategy at that point. And really, they're just looking somehow to reduce events and risks that are costly to the organization. So in practice, many organizations really dream very big, but they aim low, I guess, just because of the lack of the thought put into it. So that's my job, is to help them with that. And really, there's a maturity path that really has to be taken, like rungs on a ladder. And we'll talk about that.
Now we know why organizations want a CMMS. Now, but how should they go about selecting one? There's hundreds of them available. So how do they select the right one for them?
Yeah, you're right, James. There are lots of CMMSs out there. And I would say that for the most part, most of them are plenty capable of handling the need. I think most importantly, when looking to select a CMMS, there should be a plan to kind of amass a team with a focus on true asset management and reliability. And the selection process is really going to depend on the experience of the members of that team, their goals or the organizational aim and objectives, and their commitment level. You know, CMMS really requires, and implementation requires, a pretty strong commitment level from that team. So is there going to be a dedicated admin? You know, is there a reliability manager? Just focusing more on the capabilities and implementation plan that's going to encompass a needs analysis. So start with a needs analysis, and then we could focus on things like the design and configuration of the system, testing and training, and then on-site support. That's where I think the focus should be rather than on features. So a lot of times in the beginning, it's very feature-focused because, as you said, there are so many options available when they're doing this research or in this research phase. They tend to get bogged down in the details of features as opposed to their major aim and goal.
Yeah, you touched on a great point there, the needs analysis. Now, to me, and correct me if you see something different with your customers, to me, that needs analysis, what an organization needs to do is define what is a requirement for them from this system, what is a want or a nice to have, and then search for a CMMS that meets those needs, and if they can, those wants. So some of those needs might be an integration with a different ERP system, for example, or the ability to integrate with vibration analysis software. That could be the specific needs. Wants could be mobile solution, for example, for someone who's looking to do that in the future. Are there any major needs or wants that you have seen come up consistently?
Definitely, we're finding more and more the mobile solution, the mobile aspect. I mean, pretty much that's a given nowadays, whether it be on the plant floor or out in the oil field. There's certainly that, at this point, it's become a need because that real-time information, you know, data integrity is a real important aspect of getting the right data in the system that's going to be actionable ultimately.
Yeah, everybody wants that information. It makes it easier for the guys to enter that information, capture it, so the data quality typically has a tendency to go up when we get that solution in place.
Absolutely, and that really should be driving to the objectives. And then incidentally as well is having the flexibility. Another key theme we're finding is the need for flexibility and scalability within the software. I'll mention a little bit as we talk about the pitfalls about sort of my philosophy of being in lockstep, and that's probably the biggest pitfall that I find with CMMS implementations that have either failed or ceased to be used, or CMMSs that ceased to be used.
And you did mention the pitfalls. So I want to switch pace a little bit and talk about the pitfalls that you see organizations fall into when they're implementing a CMMS. So these are the things that either stop it from being successful, stop it from being as effective. What are some of the common pitfalls that you see when organizations are making that transition and implementing that CMMS?
Yeah, and I would even add to that the stop it from even happening. So a lot of times a CMMS project doesn't even happen. We go down the path of, you know, it could be months of evaluation where it just sort of stalls, it comes to a stall. And with that being said, the main focus, especially on that initial discovery needs analysis, we try to focus heavily on the organizational objectives. Now, usually at that point, James, folks aren't really prepared to go into those things. So at first call may go something like this. You know, they've done some research. Nowadays, James, so many folks, like as you said, there's so many CMMS options online. Before somebody engages a salesperson in an organization, they do a lot of research online and they sort of get the lingo going, and you can hear a lot of the language in that initial call. And you'll get things mostly, again, focusing on features. And so with the first pitfall, I would call it kind of a short-sightedness or a selling yourself short. Is it the right tool? So it really depends who I'm speaking with. So, for example, I might have a maintenance manager. They have an idea. They don't have buy-in. I've had, James, folks first or second day on the job, month on the job, that are looking at a CMMS. In other words, they have this feeling. I know there's something not right here. I need to find out a way to sort of get everything organized and, you know, make my life easier. Therein lies the key. Make my life easier. It's the focus generally is initially, it's all about me, whoever that person is on the phone. And then my job is to really understand what their vision is today And that could be, hey, I need work orders, I need PMs, and I need inventory management. But we try to get to the why. What is the primary critical issue of the organization? What are the critical success factors? What are the high priority issues? Because those factors are really going to expand the vision to make it an organizational goal as opposed to an individual goal. And if we can accomplish that and they're willing to bring in stakeholders of the organization and expand that vision, the value from the CMMS is going to be realized.
Getting that organizational alignment, understanding the organizational objectives and how maintenance fits into that is absolutely critical in any maintenance activity, not just CMMS implementation. So once we have that organizational alignment, the stakeholder buy-in, what is the next pitfall that we typically see when we're trying to implement the CMMS that we want to avoid, if possible?
This is a great one. So you sort of started off with, okay, we're starting to build this vision here, and wow, you know, we see the big picture. We need this. This is going to work for us. So you start to get all the stakeholders involved. And at some point, there needs to be a proof of concept. And so in the proof of concept, usually that involves some sort of a demonstration. Well, I like to have a demonstration, make sure that all the key stakeholders are there, make sure that we've had the conversations, really understand what the impacts are for those individuals in the organization. Again, kind of look using the WIFM, you know, the what's in it for me approach, and really understanding what the goals are for the individual, but still keeping an alignment to the organization. But what I find is, suddenly, once that's all been covered, we move to kind of a too much too soon. There becomes this focus on the features and away from the problem. In other words, the vision they have in their mind, they've already solved the problem, and now the focus points more to the features. And so what we generally see is the comparison process. So in doing the demonstrations, they're involving a number of CMMS potential partners, vendors, and they start to see features, and without really knowing what the features can do for them, they start to focus in that direction. So it's funny because a lot of times right now they're using some manual method, or they don't have a CMMS, or they're not utilizing it, and it becomes this idea that they're going to go from reactive to world-class overnight. And so what winds up happening is if we don't get that focus on a phased approach, we're going to be in danger of navigating through rough and uncertain waters.
To me, the CMMS is a tool. It is not the all-encompassing asset management program. It is a tool of that program. And as such, it needs to fit in and work with everything else. You have to have good business processes in place or build those into your CMMS. The CMMS is not a silver bullet, if you will. You need that phased approach. It is a journey. And it's not a journey that you're going to accomplish in 6 months going through world class. It is a 3, a 5 year or longer in some organizations to get to that point where things are stable. We are using the right tools. We are driving down maintenance costs. So it's good to see that you recognize that as well, that too much too soon isn't the right approach. It's got to be phased. It's got to be planned out in great detail to make it successful. So with all this stuff coming at us, so we went through, we got our stakeholders aligned, we built a phase plan. Now, to me, the next thing would be, we got to figure out how we're going to implement this plan. So we got to manage the change. Is that a major pitfall that you see?
Yeah, so a couple pitfalls down the line here. I kind of have my list of pitfalls, but yeah, training is definitely going to be a major focus here. There has to be provisions for training, kind of build business processes around the day-to-day life of really putting the front line first. So I think the best objective we can really kind of focus on to get the CMMS to make it successful is to put that front line first. Really leveraging the understanding of the front line, the day-to-day folks that are performing the maintenance, that are doing the work, that have the expertise. And this way, we can use the CMMS to capture data and recommendations on work orders and inspections. And you can use things like FMEA or elements of RCM and defect elimination. But you really want to make sure that you plan those resources ahead of time. So with the implementation, setting that implementation up right, setting it up strategically, the work processes, also making sure that we capture the correct data points. That really is going to involve the frontline. So really consulting with the frontline on their day-to-day and involving them with the implementation is going to be an important aspect of the success of the system, because it starts with those finer data points of driving, you know, driven by day-to-day activities. That's going to give the information that we need to make very important risk-based decisions.
Maintenance is a balance between performance, cost, and risk. And you need that information in the CMS. You need the information coming out of it to make those informed decisions. So I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the other things you touched on is not having little provisions for training. In my past experience, what I've typically found is organizations will implement the CMS, hand it to the guys, and give them a 30-minute overview of here's how you do things, and then walk away. Is that the right amount of training, or do we need to get a little bit smarter about the training we provide for the end users?
No, maybe 5 or 10% of that's retained. And here's the thing with CMMS, and this goes for implementation in all aspects of the system itself. It's you're doing your day-to-day job, and usually when someone's putting in the CMMS system, usually in firefighting mode at that point. So how much of that information are they actually going to retain? So what we try to do is provide resources that are going to help build muscle memory or a variety of training options. So we do on-site training. We have boot camp, classroom-style training, but we also have, for eMate, we have an online course that you can come back to anytime, and they're broken down into the modules that are pertinent to that individual's interfacing and use of the system. So that repetitive can always come back to the training resources we found to be a successful approach in combination with the classroom style learning and the on-site training as well. So with that combination and the variety, it builds the right muscle memory and reinforces the knowledge about utilizing the CMMS system.
Offering those multiple approaches to training, I find reference and help cards are great, you know, one pagers for how to do this or for common activities in it. All those are helpful tools to make sure your guys retain that information so that they can use it effectively and it doesn't become a burden.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Now, what are some other pitfalls? I know we're covering a bunch, but I'm sure there's still probably some more out there when we implement CMMSs. What are some of the other pitfalls you see?
Okay, so CMMS in general, this is where my focus has been on lately because I, you know, over the course of the months I've been here with eMate, I have been seeing the frustration and I wondered why so many were coming to me with very ample and able systems moving over, you know, or looking at another CMMS. And truthfully, I don't think the CMMS is the problem. I think it was really the approach. So the biggest pitfall that I find is kind of what I call it's, you know, change is inevitable in the organization. And it's really important that the CMMS remains in lockstep with those changes. So if the planning or the adequate resource to actually configure the system, again, to keep it in lockstep with your processes, what I found is, and where commonly someone coming off of an existing CMMS system that they're not utilizing and not getting any actionable information out of, what starts to happen is, let's say, James, here we are, day one of go live, we have the training in place, we have an on-site trainers, first week, everything's rosy and great, looking good, we have the CMMS set up for today, and we start to capture that information, the recommendations of the technician, maybe we build some FMEA into it or some aspects of RCM in order to get down the root causes and identify the problems. But what happens is, now, as you know, with RCM and FMEA or root causes, the foundational data, as John Reed would put it, is going to change in the system so that you'll add new failure codes and actions that you need to take to hopefully eliminate any defects or eliminate or the risks. So what we find is, okay, great. Day one, we were great. We had all the failure codes in there. We have the recommendations. That's feeding into some report. And then we're having, you know, a weekly meeting about the high priority incidents that have happened that we need to work on and eliminate those failures. And then all of a sudden we say, okay, now we need to add some failure codes. We need to add some data points and things like that. So what I often find is that somebody had put in a system in the past and that system had all the capabilities. It was set up perfectly. They brought in a consultant who's long since gone. The software doesn't remain in lockstep with each small incremental changes. Now, at first, that doesn't pose a serious problem. But over time, what starts to happen is you see one of two things. You either have workarounds that where the CMMS is not being leveraged, so literally workarounds in the work processes. And then also you have where because the CMMS doesn't have a data point or field, they'll cease to enter transactions in the CMMS, and therefore you're not capturing that information. So if you've got down to the root cause of the problem, you haven't really put any tribal knowledge or any of that knowledge that you've gained to eliminate the failure in the system. Over time, what winds up happening is that the system no longer has value. So you're not getting the reports, putting the improvements together and workflows and triggers to keep up or keep in lockstep with your work processes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. The CMMS is an ever-evolving aspect and part of your asset management system. So we are going to make changes to it. We are going to update failure codes. We are going to make changes in workflow. We're going to do those things. And that should be done regularly, as you mentioned, as the business changes and as the needs change. My only caution with that would be I've seen some sites where the change is wide open and you have 8 different people trying to make changes and it's not aligned. So once again, that goes back to your first thing, is being aligned with the organizational objectives and stakeholders. But there should be a good change control system in place to make sure we do control those changes.
Yeah, and you know, I've listened to a few of the podcasts. I say John Reed really does a great job dispelling, you know, information about management by exception. And using those tools, I think that's a good way to get more value out of the CMMS. At the end of the day, we should be looking what the organizational objectives are. And if we could find those, as John puts it, worst offenders quickly, the maintenance department knows what to focus on. They know what to work on. And if you could knock those out little by little, the root cause of the problems go away. Now you go from a reactive state. Now you can move into a more proactive state because you've found a suitable task to hopefully eliminate or reduce the risk of failure.
Yep, absolutely. Now, are there any more pitfalls that we're going to encounter when we're implementing CMMS?
I'll lump a few together without going into too much detail into it. But what I find is the Swiss Army knife sort of approach. So again, after we get that first, you know, we started off with the major, the critical factors, we brought in the stakeholders, and then the focus starts to go on, hey, we have a real opportunity here to leverage this system. That's great. People are thinking the right way. But sometimes a stakeholder or two will slip in that may not really fit into the equation. And so, for example, I might have an engineer, like a process management engineer, come in later on a demo, and they'll talk about, you know, something like asset utilization where, yeah, it's, I mean, what they're really looking for is maybe a manufacturing execution system and really then a CMMS. So what tends to happen, you may find this Swiss Army knife, we want to do everything with the CMMS. Really, the CMMS is good for asset management, for maintenance and asset, and, you know, the management for the life cycle of an asset, but it's not everything. It's not an ERP system. It's not a manufacturing execution system. So I caution to try not to do too much. Now, that's what integration is all about. All the different cross-functional or business units are using different tools, warehouse management systems and the like. You can always integrate into the CMMS. That's a better way to approach it.
So you use the specialized tools for those specialized tasks and leave the other specialized tasks to specialized tools.
Yeah, so again, it's not a Swiss Army knife, just the way as a manufacturing execution system is not going to be your CMMS and your ERP system. So I caution, try not to do too much with the CMMS. Try to stick to what it does best. Another one is what I call trailblazing. This is, to me, it's kind of like skydiving without a parachute. You know, how do you think it's going to go? So if you're doing a bunch of trials, so if you have, you're looking at 3 or 4 or 5, I've had some people tell me, hey, look, I've looked at 12 different CMMS softwares and I want a trial too. Can you set me up with a trial? You know, the whole thing is with a trial, you're not going to accomplish an implementation. It definitely is going to take a lot of commitment. There really has to be some kind of a dedication to follow a plan for a proof of concept. You know, just keeping in mind, you're not going to accomplish what you would over weeks of implementation or sometimes months of implementation on a trial. It takes a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of team getting together. And then I think the trial really needs to focus on the training aspect of the software and really getting to know the software, because going back to earlier in our conversation, James, truthfully, I work for one company, a CMMS company, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of CMMSs out there that can do the job, and most of them will do the job, for most of the organizations that I interact with on a day-to-day basis. I don't think the big differentiating factor for CMMS are the features of the software. I think it's more the partner-vendor relationship that the organization has. So that relationship and the resources the organization have are a big factor for choosing a CMMS partner.
That's a very good point. So touched on two pieces there. Don't just ask for a bunch of trials. Once again, we go back to that needs analysis we talked about earlier. Define that needs analysis. Understand what you want to test, what you want to understand before you start asking about all these different trials. And the second piece is make sure that that CMMS vendor can support. And that should be identified in the needs analysis again. In the needs analysis, we should be looking at what type of training is provided, what type of implementation support, yeah. And that is a need, and that's got to be identified up front.
Certainly, absolutely. I think another thing I encounter a lot too, somebody's pretty early on in the evaluation or kind of the research phase. I think most of the best research, third-party research, is available online. Sometimes I'll get somebody tasked me to do it. They're not very invested. They don't really have an understanding of whoever tasked them to do it, what their objectives are, or even, let alone the organizational objectives. Sometimes I'll get an IT person who's looking into this more from the lens of an IT department as opposed to asset management and reliability. So really, we just have to understand what the goal is. I may have them go back to whoever tasked them to do it to understand that, or just bring them on the call. And they have to be willing to do that, because if they're not, they're going to be looking at shelfware. The IT department's going to be able to implement this thing, but at the end of the day, is it going to be used? Does it have any value? Does it provide value to the organization? At the end of the day, a CMMS system and the data in it should be considered an asset that the organization also has to manage as well, just as they would any other physical asset.
A lot of these keep coming back to the same few things. Stakeholder alignment, needs analysis, understanding what is truly required, the objectives of the organization. It's all those things. If we get that right, it cascades throughout the entire process and gives us that much better chance of success and actually seeing results from the CMMS. Now, do you have any tips or words of wisdom you want to share with people who might be implementing a CMMS or looking to implement a CMMS?
Very simply, really place more of the emphasis on the maintenance and reliability strategy first. Do a lot of research around that. So, and I take that from my own experience. For example, when I started with eMaint, my focus was really on understanding the environment from the perspective of a manufacturer or an oil and gas concern or facilities maintenance. I wanted to really understand that first and understand strategies that would be helpful in the end to drive value for the organization. So I really think that the emphasis needs to really be on maintenance and reliability, a strategy first, then we can align the system. And again, that should answer the question as to what the challenges are, what the critical success factors of the organization are, bringing in the stakeholders, planning this thing, and then you can identify the opportunities for significant quick wins and really going after that phase one of the CMMS implementation.
Good. I like that. Start with the reliability strategy first. That is key. I don't often hear that from CMS vendors. So that, I like how you bring that up. So if you had a magic wand, what would be the one thing you would change regarding CMMS implementations that you've observed?
That's a challenging question. I think that there's a fear of what we don't know. It's, we don't know what we don't know. So someone starts doing research, they do the demos, the free trials, it opens up just a world of features that they become fixated on. And so I think they start to believe that CMMS really must have everything, and they start to imagine and anticipate sort of conquering the world, and they really lose sight of the critical challenge they face and how they're going to solve those challenges. So if you're starting from a reactive state, you can identify that you have downtime, you know, you have significant costs. I'll tell you, pretty much any CMMS is going to help you at just, you know, as a starting point. You just need to have that. Any asset intensive organization is going to need that. Most importantly is really to know that you have chosen or you're choosing a vendor partner that you can work with and grow and, you know, and start just with the very basics. And again, going back to the lockstep, as you make the continuous improvements in the organization and your downtime gets reduced and you're meeting those challenges, you want to make sure the CMMS stays in lockstep so you continue down that reliability journey. So, you know, most organizations don't have a dedicated reliability manager. They don't have a dedicated CMMS administrator. And certainly IT alone generally cannot be relied upon for CMMS upkeep. So with that, I'll go back to, I think the main focus here is not so much on the feature. I think most of the CMMSs do what needs to be done, as long as it's more than just a work ticketing system. Then focus on making sure that your vendor partner provides you with the resources that you need to be successful and stay in lockstep with your organizational challenges and goals to meet them.
Now, with that, what is the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
And it goes back to probably the very first thing. I'm not sure it was the very first thing you mentioned, but really taking a long-term strategic view, not just a once-and-done approach. Again, your CMMS and asset data, it has to be cared for, but really looking, approaching it in a phased approach. You know, so if you want to maximize your PM program, it's nice to have a planner and a scheduler. It's nice to get into TPM, operator-driven reliability, you know, and have all those things in place. But I think sort of look at the big picture, look at this as a long-term strategic view for your organization, get the CMMS implemented, and do it in a phased approach. That's the one thing that I think I would like folks to really change in terms of, it's more of their perspective as opposed to anything that they actually do.
Now, Scott, where can people find out more about you? Are you going to be at any conferences, any activities coming up over the next year?
Kind of active, as you know, James, on LinkedIn. I try to share articles, things that I find interesting and helpful. Very often when I'm working with a prospect or client, I will refer many of those articles to them, or I'll save, you know, white papers and things to share with them. I like to provide a lot of third-party resources. So contact me on LinkedIn, and I'd be happy to work with you. Again, it goes back to this, a passion for me is helping other people, and that's really where the fun is at.
Okay, perfect. And I'll also make sure to include a link to your LinkedIn profile.
Sure.
That way people can just click on there and connect with you easily. Also make sure to include a link to eMaint. So if people are interested in eMaint software, want to get a better understanding of it, they can go there and take a look, peruse around the website, do that pre-research that you mentioned.
Yeah, I got to say, the website is pretty robust. We have knowledge, a good knowledge base there. There are best practice webinars that are wonderful. We've had some pretty good subject matter experts on them and also listening in on them. And as far as other resources, I think you're doing a great job. Rooted in Reliability is an awesome podcast with a variety of information that people really need to know and all the latest. So that's a good resource that I would share. But you can always contact me directly.
Well, Scott, it has been a pleasure to have you on the podcast and go through the CMMS implementation pitfalls. Anyone who's been through a CMMS implementation has experienced at least one or two of these, at least. So for those that have not had that opportunity to experience some of those, hopefully this gave them a little bit of insight to avoid going down those pitfalls and down that wrong path. So thank you very much for taking the time to have this conversation today.
Thank you, James, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Well, you have a great Saturday morning, and I'll talk to you later.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.